Welcome to the Spike Feed, your leading Magic the Gathering podcast. What is up? My name is Curtis, and I'm just your typical Spike. On the line with me, sporting a nice maroon non-V-neck.
Non-V-neck today.
With a cardigan. Yeah. This winter's getting to you. My producer and MTG Orange Belt, Cameron McCoy. What's up, friend?
Good, man. I would say bronze tier leveled producer, you know.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Working on getting that silver, man. Working.
Well, thank the Lord in heaven now we can get some best of three, because the mono red, I mean best of one format, was really starting to get very tiresome. I'm kidding. Earlier today, I did play against one non-mono red opponent, so that was super cool.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, Cameron, we're going to start out this week talking about what we've been doing. I acknowledge that the middle segment might be a little bit bigger than normal because of all the changes that are going on within the coverage and tournament community, so I want to really chew on that for a while. And then we'll close out the show talking about some video games like we always do. But Cameron, let's start with you, man. You've been digging deep into the Standard, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I would say every day this week, man, I played and it was fantastic. And I've either run through traditional constructed or just one of the constructed events, just depending on like my time frame. Both I like. I mean, I know your return on investment is better technically with traditional constructed. You can get more bang for your buck easier in some ways. But the constructed events, it's a really good way, especially if you're not comfortable with your sideboard yet, to at least just run through the event, see what the meta is like, and I don't know, and just kind of run the deck through its paces. And so this week, rather than playing blue-green Merfolk, I was playing blue-green aggro, and this is the Hydroid Crisis, Hadana's Climb, you know, Incubation Druid sort of deck. And so it's all about just ramping to a Hydroid Crisis. I'm also running the Biogenic Ooze, which I love, love, love. And it's all about just flipping the Hadana's Climb once you get as many counters as you can on, like, whatever creature, and then just swing with a, you know, dumb 12-12, 14-14, and try to win the game. I really, really like this deck, especially after coming from Merfolk, where I felt like its operation of approach was just like swing with a bunch of dudes all the time, hope that you have a sleep and you can win quickly. This one, it's a little bit different. It's a little bit more tempo oriented. Yeah, man. And just Hydroid Crisis is what blue-green needed. The way that, like, that Sphinx's Revelation deck needed in the blue-white era. It is just, against, like, mono-red, I cannot explain how great it is to, like, just by the skin of your teeth win by casting a Hydroid Crisis for 8, you know, and getting the 4 life and drawing 4 extra cards. It's fantastic. So, yeah, I really like that. I played against, I want to say, a vast majority of mono-red, but mono-red is, I think the one that you see the most often because of what we've talked about. It's the cheapest, it's easiest to get into, it's easy to grind with. But I did play against Bug Midrange a lot. Like, and this is the Wild Growth Blocker sort of deck that's just using Jade Light Ranger, Merfolk, Blanche Walker, Vivian Reed. It's really,
really good answer to Mono Red, too, by the way.
Yes,
like, if you can get a Wild Growth Walker online, they have a real tough time actually winning the match.
Yes. And, you know, this is the crazy thing with this deck is that I felt like I have game against, like, Esper Control, Mono Red, where I feel I'm pretty evenly situated. Whatever reason, Bug Midrange, I cannot win against. They have an answer to everything, to the point where now I'm mainboarding a Carnage Tyrant just so I can have, like, something that they can't answer. Man, Vraska's Contempt is, like, I think the bane of my existence. Such a super good card, but yeah, so, like, Bug Midrange is the one that I feel like I have the biggest issues with as far as, like, playing against. And then the Nexus of Fate deck I'm seeing a lot more often. We'll see, like, because that one, it's not a bad deck. It's not like it's, like, impossible to play against, but once they get going, that's where Arena really starts to, like, not feel fun anymore.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So there's that. So
amongst the many controversies this week, that was a mini controversy that someone on stream had a Nexus of Fate. Their opponent was looping Nexus of Fate for 2 hours. So, you know.
Okay, yeah. I don't know how I feel about that. The other thing, the gate deck, man. That is surprisingly good. Like, this is like
yeah, decent.
Like
it's decent.
4 or 5 color gate deck. I can't remember. But, yeah, like, I every time I played against it, I was like, this is going to be super easy. And, I mean, there are some times where they just totally hose me. So, yeah, if you need a cheap deck, I think gate deck is the way to go, too. So, there you go.
Cool, man. Well, so I've also been playing a little bit of Standard. I'm just going to touch upon it because I've been playing Esper, and I've been, like I said, I've been hitting the best of one. I'm really ready to say sayonara to that and hit best of three starting basically today. I've tried to give it an honest shot. I've aired my opinions on best of one many times here, so I don't want to like rehash it too much. But lost in all this is Standard continues to be great. The new set really didn't change anything. I think Mono Red is kind of... So for some people, it's the Nexus of Fate loop is kind of obnoxious. For me, Mono Red's kind of obnoxious because... I mean, I've been killed multiple times when I've been at 12 on turn, like, 5. Like, you know, sometimes they just go, bolt, 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 bolt. And it's like, why are there this many bolts in the format? Mm-hmm. How did not someone not say, hey, this might be a little bit much? So yeah. There's those kind of moments where, you know, you might hit, like, 3 or 4 life gain spells and still get burnt out. Yep. Which is kind of obnoxious. But anyway, I want to talk about Modern because I played Modern last night. And the nice thing is Grixis Death Shadow is good again. because of the linear nature of the format and because everybody's trying to do these, like, you know, Arclight Phoenix, Faithless Looting decks, Death Shadow actually has some amount of game. Now, again, it's not perfect. The thing that I enjoy about playing Grixis Death Shadow in the format is that I feel like it's a little more skill-reliant. I know I'm going to get in trouble for saying this, because whenever you start talking about skill ceilings in Modern, people get very touchy about it. But, you know, I'm able to basically manage things a little bit more than when I'm playing Storm, because Storm is just like, how long can I stay alive until the point I kill you, right? Highlights, so I ended up, you know, making top 4 splitting, and the Modern scene in my shop is very healthy. So, you know, it was nice in terms of bankroll. But the most interesting thing that happened to me in that tournament was I turned 1 a Death Shadow. Like, I cycled all 4 Street Race, fetched, and was able to play a turn 1 Death Shadow, attacked for 7 on turn 2, and I still lost the match because my Tron opponent hit Karn. He was on the play. And, yeah. And then... the following turn after the Death Shadow, I was able to play Gurmag Angler. I've never had gone off with Death Shadow and lost that badly. But that'll happen, right? But I ended up taking the match. You know, he actually... Teamer Battle Rage is kind of the card that is just so messed up in that deck. And I still, to this day, can't believe they printed it.
Mm-hmm.
I trampled over a Worm Coil Engine to deal my opponent 18 yesterday. With a 2-mana spell, right? I lost to Merfolk, and I lost to the Arclight Phoenix deck, which the Phoenix deck in my, you know, because on its face you would think, oh, Arclight Phoenix deck, that seems like it would be a bad matchup for Death Shadow. The real answer is it's obviously very die roll dependent, but it's also very dependent on if I get a Death Shadow on the board. Mm-hmm. If I can actually put a 4-4 on up Death Shadow on the board, they're in big trouble. If not, like, sometimes the Tassigers and those kinds of things are just a little too dorky, take a little too much time. Mm-hmm. But they do have trouble interacting with the TBR combo. So, anyway, Modern, still have all those criticisms. I mean, I guess I'm happy that one of my decks is good again.
Yeah.
Right? The Thoughtseize decks are fine again. And everybody's playing decks in such a way where, you know, they got to play... you know, rest in peace and stuff. And it's interesting to me, the discussion, the shop that I had last night, a lot of people talking about Faithless Looting. And the sense in my shop is that's going to be the next card to go, which I think is interesting. But anyway, Cameron, we really have to talk about these controversies. So I'm going to get out of this segment, come back, and we're going to go through all the P's and Q's of everything. Welcome back, guys. So let's, I don't know where to start with this. And Cameron, it has been really tough to sort through all this information because it is not really contained in one or two articles. It's a bunch of tweets or pros or people that were pros or people that are involved in the community or podcasts, all kind of talking about what's happening. But I want to hit kind of high-level things and us kind of break down our opinions of what's going on. I would also posit to you that the reason that this is all so confusing and all over the place is because the communication on Watsy's end has been, I mean, lackluster would be a generous term here.
Zilch.
So basically this all starts, and I'll point people to Hipsters of the Coast. They wrote a really nice kind of summation of what was happening with GP New Jersey, which essentially was there was no coverage. Apparently there was no trophy. There were some really bizarre photos of dudes sitting around folding tables, basically, doing the top eight. Wizards kind of like responded in Twitter saying, yo, we never scheduled any video coverage and we haven't announced anything regarding video coverage. And, you know, stand by to stand by for more of our potential announcements regarding video coverage. And everybody's like, wait, so does that mean no more GP video coverage? What does this mean? What does this mean to the coverage crew? What does this, you know? And
yeah,
the answer is we don't know. So I want to stop here, Cameron, and talk with you about GP coverage before we get to the Mythic Championship stuff. No text coverage, looking like no video coverage, but we don't know for sure. We're pending other announcements. But if I were a betting man, I would say that they're looking to trim back on video coverage. So what do you say?
Yeah, I mean, this is a classic, let's put our cart before the horse and like start executing things without giving any sort of thing. You're absolutely right. Lack of communication. I'd love to say it's like surprising, but like this is kind of a classic move where I feel like the people making the decisions up on top don't even really consider or think like what ramification this will have to the Magic community, right? And yeah, it's weird. Obviously, they're putting their time, money, and resources into Magic Arena becoming an e-sport, and that's really where they want this game to be, I think. I think they just need to communicate it better. I think there's better ways to obviously handle how you're not going to start. If this is just a one-off thing, but it's not, like, this is going to continue to happen. They just need to explain that in a good PR sense, and they haven't.
Yeah, and look, I think it comes from the outside. Look, and I can't say this as we don't talk to anybody. Like, I don't know anyone involved or whatever, but the whole thing smells like new leadership, right? And things aren't getting communicated very well. Because I'll go to a different world in the video game world in Nintendo. I don't know if you saw, it was like a week and a half ago or a week ago. Nintendo had an announcement where they said, look, guys, we announced a game. The game wasn't coming together. We're resetting it. You're probably not going to hear about it for a while. I know it stinks, but we want to do it right. And yeah, your first initial reaction is what a disappointment. But at the end of the day, I respect them a lot more for being honest with me, and now my expectations are laid correctly.
Exactly.
Right? But when you do this, the no call, like I'm calling you and you're not calling me back.
That's exactly it.
It kind of sows seeds of distrust, and it makes me feel not valued as an invested player. Right? I feel like the announcement should have been like, hey, we aren't getting the stream viewership that we would like for the money we're putting in. Because look, if you want, I totally understand if you want to hit me with GP stream viewing falls behind Star Cities, and it does, and our coverage isn't hitting the return on investment that we would like, so we're going to go in a different, like if you just write that, we would all be bummed. But at least we would understand where you're headed and why you're headed there. You know what I mean? And somewhere Star City is just ecstatic over this, right?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah.
So now Channel Fireball says they're going to pick up Tech's coverage on, because they're, you know, the GP provider in North America. We don't know what this means for video coverage. They said they're going to do a condensed thing on Sunday nights, but that's with text. You and I both advocated for some kind of video compilation at the end. Like, I think if you took the coverage team and did something different, there was a 2 or 3 hour condensed version of what happened at the GP.
Yeah.
I would watch that every week, no problem. I would love it. Right?
That'd be great. It's never going to happen. It'd be great.
It's never going to happen. But, it's never going to happen. And they are headed in a different direction, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and I'm just going to be this guy for a minute, but their new leadership hails from Microsoft and LeapFrog, I think. And in the tech world, this kind of stuff is more normal. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Where you just kind of stop doing stuff. Oh, feature's gone. Sorry.
Yeah.
Just deal with it.
Yeah.
And I feel like it strikes me as a little cold to what the Magic community is. And there are ugly sides to the Magic community, which we're about to cover. But by and large, we're smart, engaged people that if you're honest with us, we're going to respond better than, say, you know, the Netflix audience when you threaten to pull Friends. You know what I mean? Like, it's not that bad. So we don't know what's going to happen. My preference would be alter the way in which you do coverage, not delete it completely. And be honest with us. Okay. So then there's this Mythic Championship. And they announced it. It's 32 pros and 32 other invitees, right? Which I think you could refer to them as influencers, right?
Sure.
I'm sorry. I broke the numbers down wrong because 8 players are going to come from Arena.
Mm.
So it's not 32 and 32, but it's 64 total players. The pro league is going to be there. And then, you know, streamers that you might expect, streamers that you might not know. It's kind of a sampling of who they want to invite. Well, okay, so this has a bunch of different components. I want to talk about the invitation process first. So the pros, we could all agree, hey, they've gotten there. I have no problem. Yeah, with Reed Duke representing the game in the pro league. Cool. And the invitees, obviously, these streamers, they're trying to grow the game by inviting these streamers, right? And putting them into the same thing. I don't have necessarily an issue with it, but these pros that are, shall we say, 33 through 100 or whatever, are the ones that took the biggest issue. You know, the question of merit and meritocracy and all, you know, let's not head down this Ayn Randian path. But I want to know your opinion, Cameron, in terms of the invitations, smart move, not great move, like where are you headed on? Where's your opinion on this?
Yeah. Like I guess to me this is an invitational. This is not the same thing as like some sort of like other tournament in some ways. So I kind of think like this is Wizards' prerogative. They want to grow the game. They have a lot of money on the line. And if that means they can get a certain streamer who, yes, is not a pro, but has like this large of an audience coming to this to watch that, sounds great to me. I'm totally fine with it. So, yeah, sure. I mean, I don't understand college football and who goes to what bowl and all of that. Absurdity. So this is like the same thing, right? Whatever.
Well, I mean, I think the notion of a meritocracy is, I mean, bad news, guys. That's not how the world within of itself works. If you would like to read, you know, any history book ever, you'll discover those things. Weird, right? But again, I just want to highlight what you said here. It's Wizards' prerogative. The idea that there is a you deserve versus someone else. Like, dude, they could invite the cast to Sesame Street. That's their choice, right? And they're invested in promoting the game. And the Mythic Championship, look, dude, if they could put the cast of the newest hottest show on there, they would. Who cares?
Mm-hmm.
Like, who cares? I'm going to go life coach a little bit here. The worst thing you can do in your life is begrudge someone else's success, right? You didn't make it, hey, and you felt like you did, I'm sorry, that's a bummer. That stinks. But when you get into the I deserve and they don't deserve, that's a path that leads towards you just come off as arrogant and silly and ridiculous.
Yeah.
And that's in all walks. Like I feel like that way in content creation, you know, like I hear people say terrible things about other content creators on their podcasts and stuff. And it's like, why do you even care, man? Mm-hmm. Like we're all just talking about this game and enjoying it. Just be a part of the community. So, unless it's constructive criticism, I mean, forget those guys, right? sorry, Spencer. I know your Patriots are playing today, so I got to be a little rude. But yeah, of course, this got ugly and people were harassing female streamers and stuff. Like, you know, those guys are always going to turn up to ruin anything. They never miss an opportunity. But I didn't have a problem with the tournament structure. Now, if you want to make the argument to me, there should be a pro side of the bracket and a streamer side of the bracket, and then they meet in the finals, that's cool. I wouldn't have an issue with that. Like, I think that would be interesting. But let's just mix it up, see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Right? What happens if your favorite streamer takes down a well-ranked pro? Like, that's fun.
That's awesome.
Fun viewing,
yeah.
Right? Here's what's not fun viewing, Cameron. Whatever the heck this format is. Can we just talk about that?
Because, standard.
Well, like, everyone was talking about the invitees and who should get invited, and, like, there's a ton of money on the line, which is the kind of Magic tournament we've been, you know, wanting forever. And I was so irritated that no one was talking about the actual format for this, which is ridiculous. Please, please, please explain to me why this is less confusing than a freaking sideboard. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
Well, now you get like 120 cards instead of, 60. What? I don't know, man. Like, it's a little weird. It's, not only that, but, like, can you imagine? I don't know. Like, I just don't like the idea of having, like, putting all this practice into one deck. This is the one that I'm, like, you know, really, really comfortable with. And I'm going to have to, you know, get the reps in with this other one as well. It's kind of, I don't know. It's, I'm not going to say it's bad. I'm intrigued. I really am. I'm really interested to see how this will all shape up, to see like these two decks go head to head and then two other decks and then a choice of the next two decks. Like, let me see this. I want to see it. I want to see it fall or maybe fail miserably. Maybe that's it. I just want to see the explosion go.
Here's the actual sentence. Players will not sideboard between games, though they may submit a sideboard for cards such as Mastermind's Acquisition. Players can submit two different decks, two of the same archetype with different cards in both, or the exact same deck twice. Have at it! Exclamation. What are you doing? Stop! I'm so angry. Like, sideboard. The game has been designed for sideboards. Everyone understands it. It's not a complex problem to understand. It seems like there's one guy in the leadership position that has some kind of issue with sideboards, and we keep pushing this, and no one can explain to me why it's a problem. I just keep hearing it's complicated. No, it's not. No, it's not. I'm sorry if you find 15 cards that you can swap in and out complicated. You are the lone human being in the time in history. This is ludicrous. Play Magic, okay? And the whole idea, like, this bugs me because when we first sold Arena, they were like, Magic, without compromises, it will be the same rule set. And then we keep making these changes that I don't have a problem with. Like, for example, the bot drafting thing. Like, I see why you would do that. I see why that would help the game in terms of expediency and all those other things. But sorry, best of one in whatever the heck this format is, why is that better than what I already have? Why is that less complicated? I got to be honest with you, I can write a summary of what a sideboard is a lot quicker than that. And I'm not a writer, right? Like, we have gone so far down the rabbit hole of justifying whatever the heck no sideboards means that we are just writing drivel. Stop, guys. I think this is, hey, we don't want to have sideboards, but we want to actually speak to the Hearthstone audience, which has something like this. So we're going to try this.
Mm-hmm.
Play your game. It's a better game than Hearthstone. Once they see it, they'll know. But it just feels like, hey, guys, we're going to play baseball, But just to appeal to new viewers, that we're going to run to third base first. It's like, mm-hmm. We're just doing something different for the sake of it. So that bugs me. That being said, I'm going to watch this. Are you going to watch this, Cameron?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I want to see it. I want to see how this all shapes up.
So in other weird, like, kind of side things, like, they've not renewed the contractor of the photographer they've used, like, throughout Magic's history for pro tours and stuff. Like, just a bunch of weird, poorly communicated decisions that we're kind of, like, finding out about through Twitter. And, you know, there's a lot of also, like, pro drama that I don't want to get into where they're, like, writing each other messages. You know, the old, you know, the app I use to, like, put my grocery list down, they're writing these open letters to each other. And it's very traumatic and all this. And, like, I mean, at the end of the day, I feel like Wizards is surprised by how well Arena's doing for them. And so they're like, okay, let's execute all the plans at once. Mm-hmm. And we're laying the track furiously in front of the train. And we're not doing a very good job communicating or thinking through some of these decisions.
Mm-hmm. So don't be surprised when next week, when you go to launch MTGO and the servers just don't exist anymore, because it's going to happen.
Oh,
exactly.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah. And the big danger to me is them saying, okay, Arena's doing so well, we don't have to emphasize paper anymore. Right.
Yeah,
where that's like
a
huge advantage that they have. Like, everybody thinks of it as a disadvantage, and I don't know why. Being able to go and interact with somebody is like a huge advantage over other card games. Mm-hmm. Meeting new people, it's so much like other games don't have that, and the idea that young people don't want it is dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Right, like, yes, they use digital outlets to communicate, but they still like being face to face with one another.
Yeah, there's still the human connection.
In fact, I don't know if you know this, Cameron, but millennials are still human beings. Weird, right? It's not just avocado toast.
Okay.
But anyway, so I hope they don't make that mistake where they lean so hard into Arena that they forget the paper, right? These two things can work together. I want to use this analogy, all right? Many years ago, I was in a meeting with a boss, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking about how because technology is so prevalent, and this would have been when the iPhones were new, that we don't need to teach reading maps and maps anymore to kids because their phones have GPS. And I asked, well, there's a map on the GPS app, so these are complementary things. And she's like, I don't understand what you mean. Right? And so she was pushing for not teaching north, south, east, west and all this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I think it's so easy to jump on the technology and be like, well, this changes everything. We can still have complementary skills.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We can still have a paper setup and a digital setup, and they can work well together. That should be the focus. All right. I'm stepping off the soapbox, Cameron. Any other last things to add?
Nope. Totally agree.
Okay. Sorry about my angry rant about that format, but geez, what a dumpster fire that thing is. All right. Anyway, I'm sure we've missed some of this because so much has happened this week, and I've had like a very intense work week. So, you know, hey, if you want to tweet at us anything we missed or we're not highlighting properly, I'd actually really like to hear your feedback. So, all right, Cameron, we're going to get out of this segment, and you're going to talk about the hot new games from 5 years ago, right? We'll be right back. All right, Cameron, before we get into other talk, it's time for Sports Talk with Cameron.
Yeah.
Super Bowl is today.
I heard.
I never watch the Super Bowl. I almost watch every NFL playoff game except the Super Bowl because they're like 4 or 5 hours long. It's just like, what can we do to stretch this out to get maximum advertising dollars? But I want to know your Super Bowl picks, Cameron. I want to know who you think is going to win and the score. Go.
We're going to say the Patriots, and they'll win by 17.
Who are they going to beat?
Chargers? No, who? I can't remember.
They beat the Chargers like 3 weeks ago.
Oh, okay.
They'll be playing against the Rams, the other Los Angeles team.
The Rams, okay.
You know what, Cameron? I'm actually proud of you. You got the city right.
Yeah.
So that's
no correlation for me between that, but thanks. I'll take it.
Do you know a single player on the Rams?
No. I couldn't tell you. No.
Do you know a single player on the Patriots besides Tom Brady?
I thought he retired, so no. So, yeah.
Well,
I just don't care, man. Like, let's, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Anyway, you heard it here first, guys. Patriots by 17, according to Cameron, joining the frat brothers of America in rooting for his boy Tom
That's
Brady.
Right. That's right.
I hope you wear a backwards cap all this evening.
Yeah.
So,
bro.
Cameron, let's talk about. Some video games. What have you been playing this week? You had to stop on the Resident Evils.
Yeah, you know, like I was telling you, and I'm just the horror vibe thing is just not my thing. It's kind of like Last of Us, like a beautiful, amazing, great game. I really did not enjoy playing. Like, you know, like so. Yeah, I'm kind of in the same thing with Resident Evil. So PlayStation did have their PlayStation Network had a lot of good deals on their essentials, right? Things that you should be playing or have played. I picked up Deus Ex Mankind Divided and Banner Saga 1. And I've dabbled a little bit in Banner Saga. I like it. The art style is so great. But it's just stills. I was expecting it to be more like a cartoon. And really, it's just more like keyframed animation and not like that beautiful, rich animation that I was expecting. So that was kind of like this like downshift for me. The game mechanic, it is a turn-based, you know, strategy game.
It's tactical, right?
Tactical. It's good, but man, after coming from, I don't know, like I fall into a hole with my tactical strategy games. Where something like, I can't remember the one on the Switch.
Into the Breach
is just so good and just so perfect in so many ways that it's hard to go to something else where it's like, I'm just not totally into it. So I'll play through the game. I'm sure I'll enjoy it, but it's just not sinking its teeth in the way that I was expecting it to. And then Deus Ex, man, really like these games. This is more of like a stealth game where you can kind of approach it however you want. You're that dude, I can't remember, cyberpunk dude, you know, who's awesome.
With the retractable shades, that's
retractable
his thing.
Retractable shades, yeah. It's like him and the Hitman dude. There's like all these like, you know, holdovers from like that PlayStation 2 era thing that I don't know, I find charming. So anyway, this is really, really, really good. It's Deus Ex. It's a stealth game, and you can approach it however you want. And I really like it. I'll be playing through this all the way. I've played through the first two levels and really dig it. I love approaching these games where it's essentially a sandbox, but in a linear narrative. Those are really great for me. I dig it.
You know what? I played just a few minutes of that one once when it was like free on one of the games with gold or something. And it didn't get its hooks into me, but I think maybe I needed to give it another chance. I did like the previous one quite a bit, but I did have that thing where a story beat happened and I went from stealth man that I'm not going to hurt anybody to I am killing every single one of these guys.
Yeah,
like they went in and like murdered a bunch of like refugees in a hotel or something. And it was like, well,
yep. So long.
So long. And I remember I got this like strength upgrade where I would carry a turret and I would just set it down into a room.
It's the way to go. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I do want to mention Anthem. I've been playing this demo, Cameron, and wow, do I have mixed feelings. And here's the thing. Like, if it didn't say BioWare on it, I would be like, oh, this is great. This is a really good evolution of the Destiny thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's very much like Destiny, only you're in an Iron Man suit, and it's the third-person shooter, and that seems cool. The world seems cool. The story seems like a bit more rich. But then you know it's BioWare, and you're like, okay, I'm getting this in lieu of a new Dragon Age or a new Mass Effect or a new original BioWare thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so that kind of, like, that just hangs over it. It's hard to explain, but they just... Last Mass Effect was just not par for the series. Like I said, I don't think it was awful, but it was not what it should have been.
Mm-hmm.
And this is definitely a new venture for them. And the problem I have with this games as a service is like the moment-to-moment gameplay is fun. I'm enjoying flying around. But, like, what is the arc that I'm expected to have with this game? Because if it's me grinding out gear forever, mm-hmm. right, on an endless loop, I'm not really interested in that, right?
No. Yeah.
Now, what is interesting is they've done this thing where it's kind of, you never played Monster Hunter World, right?
No.
They've done this thing where it's a little bit more like Monster Hunter in that the story you're just experiencing solo. So whenever you go to the hub world, it's just you. You don't see, you know, your mom 82 or whatever walking around.
Yeah.
But it still has that, you know, the whenever the multiplayer thing and, you know, Broncos fan 97 flies by you, it really just kills the immersion.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just, you can't help but play it and think, if BioWare and Bethesda are making these multiplayer things, are we just not long for single player experiences anymore? Can I just not? Are we on the horizon of me never getting that again?
Probably. And
that sucks. That sucks.
Yeah.
Because I've been gone back and played a ton of Mass Effect 2 just this last week, and it's just like, I just would love a modern one of these.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, that's the crazy thing is, like, Andromeda was just such a failure. I haven't played it, but just, it was critically bashed. It was just out the gate, just broken, you know. And it just stinks that they couldn't just take the Mass Effect thing or whatever and just apply it to a new type of game. It's super frustrating and weird. And, yeah, I don't think we'll ever get that again. It's kind of sad.
Yeah. Hopefully the next Dragon Age isn't multiplayer or whatever. But last thing I want to mention is I did get to take an experience where I went to see Star Wars, but with a live orchestra. So this is original episode 4 Star Wars, which is my favorite Star Wars film. And only with a movie that you know inside out, because about half the dialogue you won't be able to hear, right?
Mm-hmm.
But just the new, because I mean, I know that's score inside and out, right? Like, I've heard it a million times, but seeing it performed in person, it's amazing the subtleties that you gain in the appreciation. I mean, we are talking about one of the best film scores, inarguably. Like, you cannot extract that movie from its score. It is peak John Williams. But if you ever get to a chance to go to one of those experiences, I would just recommend it because it's a really fun way to watch a movie that you know well. However, I don't think I would want to do it. So they're doing it with Empire in like 6 months or something. I'm probably not going to go to that because I feel like I've seen that experience with the original Star Wars. Yes, there's new music in Empire, but it's a lot of the same as well.
Yeah.
Whereas it's like, man, the instant they do this with Raiders of the Lost Ark, kind of one of my other foundational movies, I'm there, you know? Anyway, Cameron, so if someone would like to tweet at you and tell you how big of a coward you are for not finishing Resident Evil 2, where can they find you?
At @Cameron_McCoy.
Maybe if you liked football, you'd be manly enough to finish Resident
it's
Evil
true.
2.
It's true.
These two things correlate, Cameron.
One in one, yeah.
Yeah. And if someone would like to tweet at me and talk to me about how Mass Effect Andromeda is actually good, I'm @CurtisNow. Our official show feed is @SpikeBeatMTG. We will check you guys next week. Man, it's really hard to compose a thought when my son is clearly destroying something upstairs in the room above me. I don't know if you can hear that, but I'm like talking and I'm just hearing like giant crashes and all kinds of stuff. Like, oh, cool. Cool. So hopefully that last 5 minutes made sense. We'll see.
Yeah.
I don't know what is going on in my upstairs, man. I don't know if I should be concerned. It's like really loud. My wife's got it. She's fine.
Yeah, she's good. Yeah.
She's got it.